Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Vochim Daf Mem Hei. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn our attention to the upper part of Daf Mem Hei, Omid Aleph, we notice a Mishnah. The topic heading that we've assigned to this sugya is seen on the outside margin under the heading No Say, Topic. Dine Kodshe Oivdei Kechavim. This Omid of Gemara will be dedicated to a number of details regarding the laws referring to the sacrifices of Gentiles. Kodshe Oivdei Kechavim. Ein Chayovim Aleihem Mishum Pigul Noiser V'Tomei. Sacrifices that Gentiles intend to bring to the Beis HaMikdash, one would not be chayev for the Isser of Pigul. In other words, if it's offered with an incorrect thought regarding time or place, and one were to eat of that meat, they would not be in violation of Pigul. Nosar is the issue of meat left over after the time designated for its being offered. And there is no violation of Tumah as regards to Kodshe of the Kechavim. Vashochton Machutz Potter, Devi Rabbi Shimon, and one who slaughters the sacrifices dedicated by Gentiles outside, if the slaughtering takes place outside of the Beis HaMikdash, there would be no guilt. Rabbi Yossi Mechayev. Rabbi Yossi, though, takes the other opinion and holds that one is Chayev. In other words, Rabbi Yossi treats the Kodshe Ovdei Kechavim with no less severity than one would treat Kodshe Yisrael, sacrifices dedicated by Jews. Tana Rabbanan. You can see we have a source, a Tanaic source, by virtue of the fact that the next several lines are in a frame. In our marking system, we attempt to frame off, to box in all Tanaic literature so as to distinguish it from the rest of the Gemara. So this source says, Kodshe Oivdei Kechavim lo nehenin v'lo mo'alin. Sacrifices offered by Gentiles, one is not allowed to derive personal benefit from them. However, if one does, v'lo mo'alin, they're not guilty of the standard offense known as me'ilah. Me'ilah is the improper benefit, personal benefit from sanctified items. So in the case of Kodshe Ovdei Kechavim, Gentile sacrifices, there does not exist this violation of me'ilah. The Ein Chayovim Aleihem Mishum Pigul Noiser V'Tomei. These points were already mentioned in the Mishnah. The Ein Oisin Tamura. Tamura is the phenomenon of replicating Kedusha. That would be a situation where one has a sanctified animal, a korban, an animal designated to be a korban, and a mundane, a chulin animal, and one makes a declaration that the Kedusha that exists on the sanctified animal should be replicated onto the chulin animal. In the case of Kodshe Ovdei Kechavim, that replication will not take effect. The Ein Mevi'in Nesachim. Rashi explains that Gentiles do not dedicate wine offerings that stand on their own. Jews, however, can be misnadev nesachim, wine offerings. Avol korbonon to'un nesachim. However, Gentile dedicated sacrifices, animal sacrifices, they require the accompanying wine offerings that are characteristic to many sacrifices. Divrei Rabbi Shimon. Omar Rav Yossi, Roe ani b'chulon lahachmir. I see all of the above mentioned leniencies that were associated with the Gentile offerings as not so, but rather they all are all of those points above are applicable to Gentile korbonos as well. In other words, pigul is relevant to them, nosar is relevant, tome, etc. Shenemar bohen lashem. The pasuk says when the pasuk that includes Gentiles as offering korbonos, it has the expression in it lashem, that they dedicate sacrifices lashem, which means that they carry with them all of the stringencies that are applicable. Bamed v'mumurim. Now it's noteworthy that this expression is going back on Reb Shimon or the Tanakama. This Bamed v'mumurim, when is it that there is no mi'ilah? The concept, that idea that there is no mi'ilah, that was stated above by the Tanakama. So this is not a continuous phrase from what was just said. So it's Bamed v'mumurim, when is it that there is no mi'ilah? Bekotshei Mizbeach, those are sacrifices dedicated to the altar. Afo Bekotshei Berek Abayis, however, if a Gentile dedicated things to the temple fund. The temple fund means is a reference to all dedications that are made to the Beis HaMikdash for the purpose of maintaining the Beis HaMikdash, the structure, the repair. So anything that's dedicated to the Berek HaBayis fund, Mo'alin Bohen, there would be a violation of Mi'ilah if one derives personal benefit from it. And of course, that's including Gentile dedications to the Berek HaBayis. Lo nehenin v'lo mo'alin, this expression we saw above. We saw this in the beginning of the source that was in the frame. Lo nehenin midurabonan. The prohibition of benefiting from the kotshe of the kohavim is a rabbinic prohibition. V'lo mo'alin. And there, at the same time, if one does derive personal benefit from the kotshe of the kohavim, he's not in violation of the Torah transgression known as mi'ilah. And how do we know that? How does the Tanakhama know that? Degomar mi'ilah chet chet mitruma. Because the halachas regarding mi'ilah are learned through a word comparison. The word chet from the topic of truma. Truma is the tithe that one separates for the kohanim from his produce. Ubetruma ksiv b'nei Yisrael v'lo ovdei kohavim. And in the context of truma, the term b'nei Yisrael is used, which is exclusionary of Gentiles. So since truma applies only to Jews, and through the word comparison, we conclude that mi'ilah also applies, the violation or the prohibition of mi'ilah applies only to Jewish sacrifices. V'ein chayovim alehen mishum pigul noser v'tomei. My taimo. How? Why is that? What is the reason for Reb Shimon to say that Gentile sacrifices do not incur pigul noser nor tomei problems? Answer. The osi pigul avon avon minosar. Pigul is derived through a word comparison from the way, from the halachas regarding nosar. V'osi nosar chilu chilu mituma, and the dinim concerning nosar are derived through a word comparison using the word chilul from the realm of tuma. Ubetuma ksiv b'nei Yisrael, and in the context of tuma, the term b'nei Yisrael appears. V'lo ovdei kohavim, the term b'nei Yisrael is exclusionary of Gentiles. So once we've established that by tuma we exclude Gentiles, and nosar is derived from tuma, and pigul is derived from nosar. So with that, we discover the three points that don't apply to, we discover the source to those three points that don't apply to kotshei ovdei kohavim, pigul, nosar, and tomei. V'ein oisin tumura, my taimo. Why is it that we say that the institution of tumura is inapplicable to the Gentiles' sacrifices? The iskash tumura lemaiser behema. Umaiser behema iskash lemaiser dogan. Once again, we have a chain of comparisons. The realm of tumah is compared to maiser behema. That's the annual tithing of the of a cattle owner's or an animal owner's animal births that year. And that realm of Maaser Behemah is compared to Maaser Dagon. Maaser Dagon is the tithing of produce. Uva Maaser Dagon Ksiv Bnei Yisrael V'lo Ovdei Kohavim. And in the case of Maaser Dagon, produce tithes, the term Bnei Yisrael is found, which is, as we've already seen a few times above, is exclusionary of Gentiles. So that if we just go over the chain of events right now, if you start with Maaser Dagon, Maaser Dagon is the source of this most recent chain from which we concluded that there is no Tmura. So we have a little diagram on the inside margin. You notice Maaser Dagon is called, we call it the Melamed, and by Maaser Dagon we've included in parentheses Bnei Yisrael. The term Bnei Yisrael appears with regard to the tithes of one's produce. And that is compared to Maaser Behemah. So Maaser Dagon teaches me the laws concerning Maaser Behemah. And Maaser Behemah, in turn, teaches me with regard to Tmura. So through this chain of comparisons, we find that by Tmura, Tmura applies only to Bnei Yisrael, like we said originally by the Maaser Dagon. The Gemara asks a question that we've seen in a previous sugya already, and that is that when you're in the realm of kochim, as we are, we're dealing right now with tmura, which is a function, which is a kochim-related issue. Things that are derived through hekish cannot then turn around and be sources for other pieces of information. Once again, a derivative, namely through hekish, cannot turn around and be a source for a hekish. But isn't that what we just saw? We saw the Maaser Behemah was a derivative from Maaser Dagon, and Maaser Behemah turned around to be a source for Truma. That you can see on our little chart. So the Gemara asks, V'chi davar halomeid behekish, chozer umalameid behekish? Can something that is derived through a hekish, and the derived item was the Maaser Behemah, it was learned from Maaser Dagon, can it turn around and be a source for Tmura through hekish? And as we said, when you're dealing with the realm of kochim, we don't accept this type of limud. The Gemara answers, have no fear. Maaser Dagon equals chulin hu. The source of this chain of limud was from, the origin was Maaser Dagon. Well, Maaser Dagon is considered not in the realm of kochim. It's a produce tithe, but has no connection with the Beis HaMikdash per se. And the restriction of hekish chozer melami behekish is something that's relevant to the realm of kochim. But since this limud started off with the realm of Maaser Dagon, therefore we have a right to classify this as outside the realm of kochim, and hence we're not bound by that restriction of Dover Halomi Behekish, Eino Chozrim Lami Behekish. Well, that approach by labeling Maaser Dagon as Chulin and hence saving the situation, Ha Nicho Leman Diomar Boser Malami Azlinon, that is true, that works out well according to the opinion that says that in determining the status of this kind of chain of derivation, that we focus on the Malamed. The Malamed would be the original source. And if we label the chain by virtue of the original source, then in truth this is a Chulin topic. Elo Lamandam Rabosar Lomed Azlinon, but according to the opinion that labels this kind of, let's say, chain of ideas by focusing not on the original source, the Melamed, but rather on the that which is derived, the Lomed, and in this case the Lomed is Maaser Behemah. It's derived from the Maaser Dagon. And Maaser Behemah is a tithe of the animals that's brought as a sacrifice. That would put us back into the realm of Kodshim. So my Iko Lamemar, then how can we legitimatize this limud, namely to derive tamura through a hekish from something which is in the realm of kachim by Maaser Behemah, which itself was only derived through a hekish. And And how is it then that we can conclude the conclusion we wanted to draw regarding Tmura, that it's limited to Yisrael? So we have now a second approach to how it is that we discover that Tmura is only by Yisrael. Ella, Meiser Behema, notice of course we have a two here, this indicates this is a second approach. Ella Meiser Behema is a Choyva She'en Kavua Lozman Hu. It's an obligation. One is obligated to after he tithes the animals, the births of that given year, he is then obligated to bring it as a korban to the Beis Hamikdash. So it's a chova, but it's not calendar related. So it's ein kavua lozman. It doesn't have a fixed time during which one must bring it. The chova she'ein kavua lozman. Sacrifices that are of that nature, they're chovos that are ein kavulem zman, Yisrael maisu, oivdei kechovim lo maisu. Jews bring them, because only Jews are obligated in the first place to these kind of things. Goyim don't bring those things. There is no sacrifice that's obligatory upon a Gentile. And we know that Tmura is compared to Meiser Behema. That's a one-step comparison. So just like Meiser Behema, Gentiles are excluded, Tmura will also be a halacha that Gentile korbanos are not connected with. The Ein Mevin Nesachim. We said that Gentiles don't bring Nesachim. Nesachim are wine offerings. Tana Rabbanan, we have a new Tanaic source. The source quotes a word from a pasuk in Bamidbar Perek Tesvav Pasuk Yud Gimel, and it's in the Parsha of Nesachim, the Parsha that deals with wine offerings. Ezrach, that's the word found in the Parsha there. Ezrach mevi Nesachim, v'ein ha'oved kechava mevi Nesachim. Ezrach is a Jew. He has the ability to dedicate a wine offering that stands alone, and Goyim, Gentiles, do not. They are not Mevi Nesachim. They don't have the ability to dedicate an independent wine offering. Yacholote Oilosa Tuna Nesachim. Should one claim that a Korban Ola that a Gentile dedicates does not have an accompanying drink offering, an accompanying wine offering? Talmud Lomar Kocha. The Torah is telling me no, that they do have, that their Korban Ola does have a wine offering that accompanies it. So that we have, with regard to wine offerings in Goyim, we have a split. They don't dedicate independent wine offerings. However, Korbanos that they obligate themselves to bring, those Korbanos do have accompanying wine offerings. Just notice these are not standalone wine offerings. These are accompanying wine offerings. Omar Rabbi Yossi, Roya Ani B'kulon L'Hachmir. We saw Rabbi Yossi above that did not learn like Rabbi Shimon, but rather all of the stringencies that apply to a Jewish type sacrifice will apply to the Gentile sacrifice as well. Hence, according to Rabbi Yossi, Pigul, Noser, and Tomei will be applicable. The Gemara continues after we quoted Rabbi Yossi. Bamed v'amurim, this is a reference back to Rabbi Shimon. Bamed v'amurim, under what circumstances is it that there is no mi'ilah? Bekotche mizbeach. Avol bekotche benek habayis moyalin. The Tanakama, Rabbi Shimon, is telling us that when we say that the Gentile korbanos are excluded from the dinim of Mi'ilah, that's true only with regard to the animals dedicated to be offered on the altar. However, Kodshei Bedekabayis, those things that are dedicated by the Gentile for the temple repair fund, those are subject to Mi'ilah, to the prohibition of gaining personal benefit from them. My taima, why is it that Kotshe Berek Habayis of Gentiles is subject to Me'ila? Kosavar ki gomra Me'ila chet chet mitruma. When we learned Me'ila through a word comparison from Truma, and we said that excludes the Gentile korbanos from Me'ila, just like Gentiles were excluded from Truma. Dumya de Truma, it is their exclusion, the Gentile exclusion is when you're dealing with a type of sacrifice that has the same characteristics of Truma. Since we're deriving Me'ila from Truma, then the exclusion case would have to be similar to Truma. In what sense? De Kadisha Kedushas Aguf. Those are dedications that have inherent sanctity. Inherent sanctity would truly be manifest by those things that are dedicated and then offered themselves on the Mizbeach. So, just like Truma has inherent sanctity, the produce that's set aside as a Truma tie, that produce takes on inherent sanctity, so too the type of korban that has inherent sanctity is that which is compared to Truma, and hence when dealing with a Gentile is excluded. Avol, the Gemara goes on, Kedushas Berek Habayis, things that were dedicated by a Gentile for the temple repair fund, the Kedushas Domim, that when one, let us say, use an example, one dedicates his horse to the temple repair fund. Now the horse does not take on the characteristics of inherent sanctity. When you dedicate, you don't build a horse, let us say, into the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. If you were to, then maybe we could talk about having some type of inherent sanctity. But rather, things that are items that are dedicated to the temple repair fund have monetary sanctity. That means it's called Kedushas Domim, and one is expected to sell those things, get money from that sale, and use the money for temple repair fund needs. That's called Kedushas Domim. And the Gemara goes on to say that everything we've said till now applies to things that have Kedushas Haguf. Aval Kedushas Berek Habayis, Kedushas Domim, Loi. That lo means that type of dedication. We are not mimma'it. We don't exclude the Gentile sacrifices that he dedicates, or set the Gentile dedications to the Berek Habayis. And hence, since they are not excluded, there would be a problem of Me'ila if one benefited from the Kedushas, the Kotshe Berek Habayis that were dedicated by a Gentile. Tonu Rabbanon. We have a Tanaic source that continues on to Amud Beis. Dam Shinitma V'Zorkoi B'Shogeg Hurtza. Dam that became Tomei and was sprinkled unwittingly, it is effective in making the korban be accepted. In other words, it's called an effective sprinkling. Hurtza means it's accepted. Bemezid, if it was done willingly, knowingly, lo hurtza. Now, lo hurtza, one has to be very careful over here. It means it's not effective in causing the sacrifice to be accepted to the level at which the owner would be able to eat from it. In other words, it's not sufficiently acceptable for eating purposes. However, we're not going to expect the owner to bring a replacement korban. That would get us involved with another problem of chulin ba'azora, because if you say that this din of bemezid lo hurtza is a knas de rabbonon, that it's a rabbinic imposition that suggests lo hurtza, but midoraisa it really is an effective korban, even though the tuma and zrika were done bemezid. Therefore, the Rashi points out that since midoraisa it is hurtza, he doesn't bring a new korban, a replacement korban. Bamed v'amorim biyochid. Everything we've said till now is applicable to the private korban, aval betzibor, but when you're dealing with a public offering, bein b'shogeg bein b'mezid, so whether the tumah was b'shogeg, or even if the tumah was b'mezid, the sprinkling of the blood is effective in making the korban tzibor, the public sacrifice, accepted. Uba'ovdei kechavim, however, when you're dealing with Gentiles, bein b'shogeg bein b'mezid lo hurtza, whether it was a case of shogeg, unwittingness, or mezid, or with prior knowledge, the korban, the dam that was nitma, is not going to enable the korban to be accepted. We might point in general the vehicle or element that causes korbonos, where the dam became tome, where the blood became tome, to be acceptable. This is a function of the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol, the golden headplate worn by the Kohen Gadol, enabled korbonos that were nitma to be acceptable. The Tanakhama said that the effectiveness of the tzitz is only if the issue of the tumah was b'shogeg, but not b'mezid. Amrua Rabbonan kameder of Papa. Kiman, that which it says that the ovdei kochavim korbanos are not accepted, that if the dam of those korbanos, of the Gentile korbanos, became tome, the sprinkling is ineffective to make them accepted. That is demlo kribyosi. This is what the students said in the presence of Rav Papa, that this teaching that the kodshei ovdei kochavim, where it was nitma dam, and we said lo hurtza, so they claimed, the Rabbonan who spoke to Rav Papa, the students, the Torah scholars who spoke to Rav Papa, they claimed, or they announced, that teaching is not like Rav Yossi. Di Rav Yossi ha'omar b'kulon ani roya lahachmir, because if it were according to Rav Yossi already said that kochei akum, kochim of Gentiles, the sacrifices of Gentiles, are going to be treated as kochei Yisrael. Omar lehu Rav Papa. Notice with our markings, we've used a squiggle underline and an aleph in bays as well. The aleph was featuring the speech of the students in front of Rav Papa, and the bays here illustrates Rav Papa's response. Omar lehu Rav Papa, afilu temo Rav Yossi. Unlike what they said to Rav Papa, that this source is not like Rav Yossi, but Rav Papa says back to them, you can set it up as Rav Yossi, the source that says lo hurtza can work out according to Rav Yossi. Shiny hasam, the case of tumah and the tzitz enabling it to be effective. So that case is different. The Omar Kro, the Pasuk says in the context of the tzitz, it says in Shmos Perek Chav Ches, Pasuk Lamed Ches, Lohem v'lo l'ovdei kochavim. So this Pasuk that deals with the tzitz has an exclusionary expression in it. Lohem, meaning it benefits the Jews and does not benefit the Gentiles. Omar le Rav Huna braid Rav Nosson Rav Papa. Rav Huna then turned to Rav Papa and said, Elo me'ata. The pasuk we're about to read has to do with the realm of tumah in with regard to kochim. It says, Asher heim makdishim. Hachi nami, are you going to try to draw inferences from this as well? Heim v'lo ovdei kochavim. And say, since the pasuk says heim, we're coming to exclude Gentiles, and then end up saying that kochei ovdei kochavim, the sacrifices offered by Gentiles, we would end up saying ein chayovim mishum tumah le Reb Yossi, would not be chayav tuma according to Reb Yossi. So, should we say that? Ela Omar of Ashi, Omar Kro. Pasuk says in the context of the tzitz, le rotzon lohem. The Ovdei Kechavim lav b'nei hartzoninu. The pasuk describes the tzitz as accomplishing the rotzon lohem. Rotzon is an expression that implies acceptance or appeasement. So this idea of acceptance is something that is shayach to Klal Yisrael and not shayach to the realm of Gentiles. That's what this expression, the lav b'nei hartzoninu. Dvarim she'ein chayovim aleihem mishum pigol. We saw a list of items like that in the Mishnah Daf Mem Beis Amid Beis. The items that are not chayev, that would not incur a pigol violation. Chayovim aleihem mishum noisar u'mishum tomei chutz min adam. So items that conform to this heading. Namely, they are things that don't have in them pigol, like the Mishnah explained on Daf Mem Beis. Nevertheless, there will be a problem with regard to there being no sar, or there being outside the Azorah. There's a girsa that Rashi adds here, Numi Rebbe Shimon. Rebbe Shimon speaks, B'davar shidarko le'chol chayav, avol ho'etzin v'alavon of akteres ein chayavin alav mishum tuma. Rebbe Shimon says that tuma affects only things that would ordinarily be eaten, generally are edible. But things like wood or the incense of known as Lavona or the Keturis was the daily incense offering. Those things ain chayovin alav mishum tuma. So Rav Shimon says those things are excluded from the problem of tuma. And we'll also emphasize that the Chachomim are cholik. The Chachomim disagree. And they hold that things like Eitzim, Levon, and Toras, even though they're not edible, they are shayach to the problem of Tumah. This, of course, will be a discussion much later in the Gemara. What are we talking about? We're talking about where they themselves are Tameh. The wood, for example, is Tameh, and the Kayin, or the person who is about to violate it himself, is Tohar? Or is it talking about the other way around, where the person the person himself is Tameh, it's called Tumas Aguf, and he is about to eat this wood, let us say, wood that was dedicated to the Mizbeach. So after all said and done, there's a Machlokas Tanoim regarding the possibility of Tumah being shayach to Eitzim, Levona, and Ktores. Before we go further, we have a topic heading at the side of the Gemara called Nosei. We've written in Nosar v'Tuma Shayochim Gam B'Dvorim She'ein Lahem Matirin. These offenses, known as Nosar, which is a reference to korbanos that are left over beyond the allotted time. Leftover can be in the sense of not having been offered on the Mizbeach, or leftover in the sense of not having been completed by eating them. So Nosar and Tuma Shayochim Gam Bidvorim She'ein Lohem Atirim. These kinds of offenses are relevant to things that don't have a Matir. Now this is in distinction to Pigol, where we said that Pigol applies only to those items that have a Matir. Tono Ravona. We turn to the Gemara. We have a long Tanaic source. It's in a frame. Yochol lo yu chayovin mishum tumo, elo al davar shiyesh lo matirin bein l'adam bein l'behema. I might have thought that there is no tuma problem unless you're dealing with something that has a matir for either personal consumption or for being offered on the mizbeach. And if it's something other than that, then tuma would not apply. The dinhu and logic would dictate this. Uma pigol, and the source is going to list off a number of characteristics of pigol. It says uma pigol shehu bikviya ubiyadiya achas v'lo huter michlolo ein chayovin olov elo al dover sheishlo matirin bein lo bein mizbeach. So pigol, which has a number of severities associated with it. It's the first point was listed under the Aleph, as you could see, is Shu Kubi Kaviya. It's a Chatos Kavod, has a fixed price to it. It's unique in that sense. Many other Korban Chatos don't have a fixed price associated with them. And Ubi Yedio Achas, there is no need for a Yediyah Batchila and a Yediyah Basof. So when it comes to Pigol, it's sufficient that one knows at some point that he's about to eat Pigol, but he doesn't have to have that Yediyah both at the beginning and at the end being at the point he's about to eat it. V'lo huter michlalo, we can also say that with regard to the offense of pigol, there is no huter michlolo. It's never been allowed in any area of halacha. V'ein chayovin olov elo al dover shiesh lo matirin bein lodem bein mizbeach. And furthermore, there's no chiyuv pigol unless it's an item that has a matir to it. It has something else that makes it allowed. And the realm of pigol also is ba'oilo v'yoreid, meaning the price, the cost of the korban that must be brought when he violates this offense. It's depending on his income level, that if his income level is very low, so he'll bring the less expensive type korban. So as we continue with this approach, we're going to make a kal v'chomer from the realm of pigol, which we saw has a number of restrictions or points of chumra to them. And we say, even so, there is no pigol violation unless it's something that has a matir. Tuma, on the other hand, which is more lenient realm of halacha, shehi ba'oilo v'yoreid, if one violates tuma, he can bring a fluctuating price korban, ubishtei yedios, and he doesn't become chayev unless there was a knowledge of the tuma beforehand or at the outset. And then he entered the Beis HaMikdash or ate a korban, forgetting that he was tameh, and then afterwards recounted that he had encountered a tuma problem. That's ubishtei yedios. In other words, it's tuma is a more lenient realm, that in order for someone to be chayav because of violating tuma, he'd have to have two yedios before we can say that he's chayav. The hutra michlola, tuma also has this leniency, that if the tzibor is tameh, so korbanos are processed in a state of tuma. So here you have something that's more lenient than the realm of pigol. And what did we see by pigol? That pigol does not apply unless it's a dover sheish lamatir and bein lo na bein mizbeach eino din. So with regard to tuma, certainly eino din sheino chayav elo al dover sheish lo matir and bein lo na bein mizbeach. The realm of tuma, being that it's more lenient, will certainly not be applicable to anything more than that which we said above, something that has a matir to it, whether it be a matir la'odam or a matir la'mizbeach. Talmud Lomar, therefore, we have a posuk that says, with regard to Tumo, Asherheim Makdishim Li. This is Marba, all things that are sanctified, even if they don't have a Matirin. So even if they don't have a Matirin, they would be subject to the problem of Tumo. Yochol Miyad. Now, to understand this question, we glance at Rashi. Yochol miyad mishehuktishu mischayev alav miyad im ochlo betuma. Could it be that he would be guilty of tuma if at the as early as the point that someone sanctified it? If someone who was tummy came along and ate that korban that was just now sanctified, he would be in violation. That's yochol miyad. Is it so that at the point that it's that it's sanctified, that it is subject to the problem of tumah? Talmud Lomar Yikrav. The pasuk says, from the point that it's offered. Omar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar is coming to explain that which we just had. V'chiyesh nogea shehu chayav. The pasuk says Yikrav. The pasuk that we've included, you can see on the side of the, in the inside margin, Vayikra Perichov Beis Pasuk Gimel, it says there, Emor Alehem Ledorosechem, Kol Ish Asher Yikrav, Mikol Zarachem, Ela Kodashim, Asher Yagdishu Bnei Yisrael, Hashem, V'tumosu Olov, V'nichrusa Hanevshi, Milefonai Ani Hashem. So, the question that the Braisa was most recently dealing with is that, is the question is Tumah relevant to something as soon as it's dedicated? Talmud Lomar Yikrav. Now, Rabbi Elazar's masbir this. Omar Rabbi Elazar v'chiyesh nogea shehu chayov. Elo ma Talmud Lomar Yikrav. The word Yikrav would mean someone comes unto it, comes near, draws near to, near it, and touches it. That was the posuk we saw on the side. Emor aleihem ledorasechem kol ish asher yikrav mikol zarachem el hakodeshim. So if you're going to take the word yikrav literally, it would mean anyone who draws near unto the sacrifices, or he touches. While tomei, he touches a sacrifice. Could that possibly be the subject of the posuk, and more specifically the subject of an offense that carries with it a kores penalty? That's what Rabbi Elazar is explaining. Omar Rabbi Elazar, v'chiyesh nogea shehu chayov. Is there any precedent for talking about someone who touches something and thereby becomes chayov kores? Elo, we don't have any precedent for that. Elo ma tamad lomar yikrav. So what's the use of the word yikrav in this source? Behuchsher boser likrav akosuv medaber. We're talking about meat that was huchshar, that became acceptable to being offered. So how is that? Yeshlo matirin, if you're talking about meat that has a matir to it, so mishiyikruvu matirov. Once the matir was offered, in the case of animal sacrifices, it's the sprinkling of the blood. Ein lo matirin. So when is the Isser Tumah Shayach to Korbanos? So it depends. If it's a Dover Sheshel Matirin, once the Matirin were offered, then the Tumah problem is applicable. Let's say it's something that doesn't have a Matirin. So we say Mishiyikdash Bekli. Let's say it's a Korban Mincha. That's, you're not going to take the Kometz off of. We have that in the case of the Minchas Chavitin. Or we saw other examples of that. So at what point do they become huchsher likrav? So that's what the Bryce is explaining. If it's an item that doesn't have a matir, for example, the kaimetz of any standard korban, or the dam of any standard korban, at what point does tuma affect those things? Mishiyikdash bekli, from the point that it's placed in a service vessel, a sanctified clay shores. Ashichon tuma. No sar min alan. We've discovered the realm of application of tumah.
Nosar Minolan. From where do we know that in the case of Nosar that there is a chiyuv even on something that is ein lo matirin, that doesn't have something else that allows it? The answer to that is osi chilu chilu mituma. We through a word comparison we derive the dinim of Nosar from the way we treat tuma. And what did we say about tuma? That it applies to things that have matirin. We also saw that tuma is expanded by virtue of the pasuk of Asher Hein Makdishim Li to apply to things that don't have matirin as well. So after having discovered the realm of application with regard to tuma, the Bryce is asking, Nosar Minolan, how do we know that Nosar is chayav also on things that ain lo matirin, that are, once again, that's something different than pigol? Answer, Asi chilu chilu mituma. The standard that we apply to Nosar is derived from the standard we apply to tuma through a word comparison of chilu. The Gemara asks, why is it that you're willing to say that Nosar is derived from a comparison to tuma? The Leilef Avon Avon Mipigol. Why not learn Nosar from the realm of Pigol through a word comparison of Avon? And if you do that, there will be no Chiyuv of Nosar unless it's something that is a Yeshlo Matirin. So we have a little diagram you can see on the inside margin where we have Pigol and Nitma'ah is encircled with arrows pointing to Nosar. And the issue here is Nosar is derived from the halacha of either pigol or of tuma. If you derive it from pigol, so then it'll be shaykh only to things that have a matir. If you derive nosar from tuma, then we can say that nosar is shaykh to things that also, so things as well that do not have matirin. So the Gemara is now going to respond to the question of why not learn nosar from pigol. The Gemara answers, Mistabra mituma have le lemelaf. It's most likely that we should learn Nosar from the realm of Tuma. Shekain, Gezel, Simen. Gezel is an abbreviation representing three areas of halacha, which Rashi elaborates on. The Gemara continues and says that if you're convinced that Nosar is derived from Tuma because of these things that they have in common, Adarabba, Mipigol have le lemelaf. It's more likely that I should learn Nosar from the realm of Pigol, Shekain, and you have here a list of five points of halacha that Nosar would have in common with Pigol. Shekain, Hutar, number 2, Tzitz, number 3, Tohor, number 4, Bizman, number 5, Korev. 5 points that Nosar has in common with Pigol, Vehani Nefishon, and these points of similarity are more than the points of similarity that existed between Nosar and Tumo, which we said was represented by the abbreviated expression Gezel, which represents 3 points in common. But when you compare Nosar to Pigol, you find 5 points in common. If that be the case, then how do I know to say that the realm of Nosar applies to things beyond that which applies to Pigol, namely including things that also have no matirin? Ela midatani Levi. We'll answer our question from Levi's teaching. The Tani Levi. Levi presents a Tanaic source. Minayin sha'af bepsul zman hakosuv medaber. The posuk referred to here is the posuk that Rashi calls the posuk of vinozru. The posuk itself is dealing with the realm of tuma, which is warning people that are tuma to stay away from korbonus. So Levi's source opens up by saying how do I know that the posuk of Vinozru is also talking about things that have associated with them psul zman? Talmud Lomar, the posuk that we're about to read is from the realm of Tumah. V'lo yichalalu es shem kodshi asher heim makdishim li. The posuk says v'lo yichalalu b'shnei chilulin hakosav medaber. This posuk that's in the realm of Tumah refers to two desecrations. Echad psul nosar, which is essentially the topic that we were most recently trying to find out about, and the Echad Psul Tumah. Rashi at the top, Echad Psul Nosar, the Ashkon Bey Chilul. We find the word Chilul in the case of Nosar, Dechtiv Ki Es Kedesh Shem Chilel, the Atravayu Koi Asher Hei Makdishim. And with regard to both of these points, the term Asher Hei Makdishim applies. Marbinon Minei Kol HaMukdashim. We include from that all of the Mukdashim, and not just those things that have a Matir. So if the question was, how do I know to explain Nosar as applying to things that are that don't have a Matir, in addition to those things that do have a Matir, so I will tell you, I'm learning it from this drasha, the drasha of Levi, where the expression of Asher Heim Makdishim Li appears, including all kinds of kodshim. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.